In the 13th century A.D., Genghis Khan and his Mongol hordes swept across the face of Asia, leaving in their wake terror, destruction, and lots of good parts for Yul Brynner. All in their path were put to the sword in a frenzied orgy of carnage, desiccation, and coconuts.
Take that! So perish all enemies of Genghis Khan! That's it, man! Tie this wretch to these four horses! We'll have him torn apart, limb from limb!
Genghis, I think that was the doorbell.
Quiet, woman! Slit this man's throat, Remugen! That's it!
Genghis, there's someone at the door!
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Good afternoon, my son.
Oh, it's you, Vicar. Look, everyone, it's the Vicar. Yes.
I do hope I haven't called at an inconvenient moment, Mr. Khan.
We were just slaughtering a few. Just having a quiet evening at home, really, you know.
Good. May I come in?
Well, a bit difficult at the moment.
Oh, thank you, then. I will.
I'm sorry the room's in a bit of a mess, Vicar. Genghis, where's your manners? Look, the Vicar hasn't got anything to sit on.
Well, don't look at me. I only cut off people's heads. Oh, I see. Hang on, I'll just shift this Mongol horde out of the way and get him a chair.
Yes, thank you. I don't think we've seen you in church recently, Mr. Khan.
I've been conquering Asia a bit lately, Vicar. Haven't I, Remugen?
Oh, yes. You've been conquering Asia quite a lot, really, yes.
Yes, that's right, Vicar. He gets very busy at weekends.
Oh, yes, I'd love a cup of tea, please. Two sugars, thank you. I say, these bodies lying strewn all over the ground.
Oh, God, he's noticed them.
Do you think they'll be able to make it? Say, for matins next week, perhaps?
They're all dead, Vicar.
Oh, that's all right. We welcome all denominations. You see, what we are trying to achieve. Dead?
Not dead. Not dead in that sense of the word, Vicar. They're just rehearsing for Crossroads. Right, Remugen?
Oh, yes, my lord. Rehearsing for Crossroads.
Yes, but no chocolate biscuits for me, thank you. But now I
chocolate biscuits? We haven't got any chocolate biscuits.
All right, then, just a plateful. Now, the point is, Mr. Khan, I wondered whether you would perhaps like to involve yourself more in our parish activities. I mean, do you fancy the choir at all?
Only one or two of the younger ones. Besides, I don't conquer choirs much, do I, Remugen?
Oh, yes. You don't conquer choirs much at all,
Oh, sorry to have troubled you then, Mr. Khan. So sorry. I'll take my leave now, and you can get on with whatever you were doing.
Oh, thank you, Vicar. Excuse
me, I forgot my hat.
Oh, right. There! Kill that sniveling cat!
I say, too.
What is it, Remugen?
I'm sorry to bother you, too, but have you seen those invoice triplicates from Whitehall? The ones concerning the inspection of the new filing cabinet.
Take that! They're in my in-tray, Remugen.
I can't see them, too. There's only this severed mandarin's head that you were going to send off last week as a warning to the Empress of China.
What? Oh, then if the severed mandarin's head is still in my in-tray, I must have sent the Empress of China better about the inspection of the new filing cabinet.
Good gracious me, too. You realize what you've done, don't you?
You don't mean...
Yes. You've written to the Empress asking to have a look at her drawers.
You've been listening to The Mongols from the Ministry.
Jerry Kleiner and Stinker Murdoch. With Joe Kendall, Nigel Reese, Chris Emmett, and Fred Harris as the Mongol hordes. The script was written by the wandering Merkit tribesmen of Northern Asia.
Well, let's see. What did you think of that one, Patrick Moore? Well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't really see the point of the idea at all. All those Mongols galloping around the place and vicars and things coming in and asking for tea and chocolate biscuits. Or what it's all about, we just don't know. And, of course, things weren't really improved by the whole thing taking place during the autumn equinox. As we all know, Genghis Khan wouldn't have been visible to the naked bosom because, as we all know, bosoms can't see. Although, if they could, it would make the job of the optician a lot more enjoyable.
Thank you, Patrick. Isabel Barnett, what did you reckon to the programme?
Well, Patrick, I really felt the same with Patrick. I do agree that the concept is rather too madcap for Radio 4. I particularly dislike the idea of the vicar with no hindquarters. Very bit later, she says he's got nothing to sit on. The vision there was of an Anglican incumbent with a severe buttock deficiency. And I really think it's reaching rock bottom when I'm given lines like that to say.
Thank you, Isabel. Right. I think in that case, we'd better move on to the second audition. Next.
Hello. Is this the BBC audition for a new programme to replace the Birkis Way when it goes off the air next week at the end of its current 13-week series?
That's correct. What can we do for you?
Nothing. I just came in to set up the plot.
Fine. Let's get on then.
And as the minute waltz fades away, we welcome you to another edition of Just a Minute. A panel game controlled, open brackets, exclamation mark, close brackets, by Nicholas Unbelievable.
Hello. My name is Nicholas Unbelievable, and welcome to Just a Minute, the panel game in which I laboriously spell everything out in a rather boring way and repeat myself rather a lot by spelling everything out in a rather boring way by making rather obvious points, using my mouth and tongue to talk with. And often my words don't seem to make a great deal of centipods because I just ramble on and on in the process.
I'll get on with it, you stupid old donkey.
Well, that was Kenneth Williams there, ladies and gentlemen, who, for the benefit of our listeners at home, just said, "Oh, get on with it, you stupid old donkey, or we'll be here all day." Well, I think that's...
Mr. Unbelievable.
Yes?
Time to have your brain launched.
Oh, thank you.
Ah, that's better. Right, now let's get on with the game. Just a minute. And our first contestant is Andre Melly. And just a reminder of the rules. As you know, Andre has to immerse herself completely in this tank of water for just a minute, without hesitating, without breathing, or otherwise respiring or expiring. And your subject on the card, Andre, is drowning. So you have just a minute in which to drown, starting now. Derek Giler.
Expiration.
Oh, sorry, Derek. It sounded just like your buzzer. So you have 51 seconds left. 51 seconds, Andre. Starting now. And a challenge from Clement Freud.
Yes. death. She's just suffocating.
Yes, I dare say, Clements, but I'm afraid death isn't one of the reasons on the card. So, Andre, that means you get an extra point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 49 seconds...
Hang on. Let's ask the audience what they think.
All right, Kenneth. Audience, what do you think?
Yes, all right. I think we've heard enough of this drivel, don't you?
Yes, I certainly do. Let's switch the radio off now and get back to the auditions. Send in the next applicant, please.
The bell, The bells made me deaf. The bells, the bells.
Good morning. Take a seat, please. Name?
Amanda Snott.
Amanda, you don't expect me to believe that, do you?
All right. Quasimodo.
That's better. Now then, Amanda Quasimodo, just make yourself comfortable and we'll proceed with the interview.
The bells made me deaf.
Can you tell me what exactly makes you think you'd like to become an air hostess?
The bells made me deaf.
I see. I think we'd better take some details then. Age?
23.
Real age?
219.
And what about your previous employment?
The bells made me deaf. The bells. They made me deaf, you know. Deaf. The bells.
Ah, you used to be an Avon lady, did you? Now, what...
Pardon?
What previous experience do you have?
Well, I spent 200 years jumping up and down in a bell tower.
With which airline?
Pardon?
When you were jumping up and down in the bell tower, was it with Britannia or Pan Am?
With a bell.
Well, never mind. Just slip on this dress, would you please?
Right.
Good. Now get up and put it on. Yes. Now, your figure reminds me of Raquel Welch. Back to front. Look, I'll be honest, Miss Quasimodo. We don't tend to recruit a great many medieval hunchbacks as stewardesses these days. They don't tend to be charming enough.
The bells! The bells made me deaf!
Yes?
There's no one to see you, miss.
Oh, good. Thank you. Now, finally, Miss Quasimodo, let's run through your results, shall we? Speech? 0 out of 10. Charm? 0 out of 10. Figure? -0 out of 10.
But they said I was the spitting image of Sophia Loren.
Yes, well, it was the spitting that put me off, really. To be quite frank, Miss Quasimodo, you're a bit short in the niceness department. In fact, to be really blunt, you're rather nasty.
Well, not really, Miss Remsen.
What? Your voice has changed.
That's right, Miss Remsen. Have you ever heard of a show called Candid Camera?
What? Oh, no. You don't mean...
That's right. You're not on it.
What?
Yes. If you look over there in that telephone box, what can you see?
A cat.
That's right. Will you wave to it, please, Miss Remsen? Because you're on Candid Cat.
Candid Cat?
That's right.
What's the idea of that?
Well, it's very funny. We get members of the public to do silly things. And unbeknown to them, they're being watched by a cat.
Candid Cat. I don't think he's quite right myself.
No. Well, in that case, I think we'd probably better move on to the next audition.
Your name?
Norman Hackingbottom.
And you've got a programme you'd like us to consider broadcasting to replace the Berkey's Way, have you?
That's correct, yes.
What is it? A comedy?
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about it then, please.
Well, basically, my idea is for a new show called The Non-Derek Giler Half Hour.
What happens in that?
Well, basically, it involves a half-hour radio comedy in which Derek Giler does not appear.
I'm sorry, I don't quite follow you. That's not technically possible, is it? You mean you just don't have Derek Giler in it a bit? Do, really?
Oh, no. You don't hear Derek Giler at all.
Oh, I see. I see. You mean you have Derek Giler miming to someone else's voice?
No, no, no. You just do not have Derek Giler. Oh, look, let me show you.
Is this the Catford travel agent?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I want to arrange a nice holiday.
Oh, very wise, sir. And where exactly would you think of going?
Catford.
Catford, I see. But this is Catford, sir.
Yes, that's partly why I decided upon it, because it's so near, you see.
Well, look, sir, why don't you go to Spain?
Oh, I see. Trying to get rid of me now, are you?
Oh, no, no. For a holiday, it's very nice.
Are there beaches in Spain?
Oh, yes.
And long, hot days?
Oh, yes.
And beautiful, nubile young ladies in moist, clinging swimsuits?
Oh, yes.
And a station that's 20 minutes from Charing Cross on the Hayes Violin Service?
Oh, well, frankly, no.
Oh, pity. Haven't you got anything else?
Well, what have we got? There's two sun-kissed weeks in a travel agent sketch in Luton.
Oh, just the thing I could do with a nice change. Good morning. Is this the Luton travel agent? Yes, sir. Hang on, you sound just like the customer in that reliable travel agent, i.e. me. Well, that's right, sir. In that case, I think I'd better sound like the travel agent. Hang on a minute.
Good morning. Is this the Luton travel agent?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that feels better, doesn't it? Now then, I'd like to fix up a holiday in San Tropez.
I see. Well, that's £765 by British Airways, sir. Or if you prefer economy class, it's £2.50 by nostril.
I don't quite understand that. How can you travel by nostril?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, sir. Nostril is the name of the tour company.
Oh, I see. And how do they do it so cheaply?
Well, they stick you up people's noses. Now, you just like to look through this...
Stick you up people's noses?
Well, only literally, sir. Of course, they don't just stick you up any old nose. You do get to pick the nose.
No. No, thank you. Look, there must be some other way of travelling.
Well, you can go by lemon for £1.20.
By lemon?
That's right, sir. That includes a week's picturesque lemon trekking across Central Europe.
But surely lemons don't move.
Well, we're not sure about that, sir.
Why not?
Well, no one's ever managed to put the saddle on one without squashing it.
Oh, that's stupid. Why should I pay £1.20 for a lemon?
Well, they don't grow on trees, you know.
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they? Oh, just a minute. Dennis!
Yep?
Better take back that lemon we got to start the stud farm. Now, sir, if you won't travel by lemon, there's still two glorious weeks in Saint-Tropez by mallet.
Mallet?
Yes, sir.
What, a wooden mallet?
Only the best, sir.
How much is it?
3p.
There isn't a nasty catch, is there?
Oh, not after that bit, sir, no.
Isabel, what did you think?
Well, personally, I must say, I think the idea of the non-Derek Giler half hour is quite an excellent idea. Except for the bit about Derek Giler not being in it. I really think he should be.
Fine. We don't seem to be getting terribly far with these auditions. Perhaps we'd better move on to the next applicant.
There will now be a short intermission.
Yes, Bond is back. Nat Cohen, in association with Stick Insect Goldberg, presents the new James Bond. More powerful, more menacing, more deadly, more duck-like than ever before.
007 to see you, M.
Oh, send him in, Miss Moneyspinner. come in, Bond. Take a seat. Now, I expect you're wondering why I've called you here. Now, I don't need to tell you, Bond, that you are a duck. A secret agent of your caliber gets to find these things out quickly enough. Being a 00 agent, you are, of course, licensed to quack. Afraid so. Rather than quack at your latest adversary, Bond, we want you, as a species of waterfowl with somewhat limited espionage powers, to fly out to Monte Carlo, rescue the kidnapped French ambassador from an island fortress, and then blow the whole place to smithereens and make your escape by piloting a helicopter back to the mainland. Any other secret agent, Bond, would find this something of a mission impossible. You will find it an absolute and complete mission impossible. Stop playing about, Bond. Now then, here are your instructions. Your cover identity will be Gerald Beaverstone. Got that? An interior design consultant in Monte Carlo on business with a firm of public relations consultants.
Yes, see Dr. No's sinister henchmen lure Bond into their clutches by throwing him breadcrumbs. Witness the torrid bedroom scene between Bond and the Russian temptress, Olga Cleavage.
James. Promise me one thing, James. That you'll never let the fact that you're a duck come between us. That noise. Good God, don't move, James. There. There's a cordon bleu chef crawling up the bed with a dish of orange sauce. I've got him, James. Come. Put your feathers back on. We must get out of here.
Yes, hot on the scent of his treacherous adversary, James Bond manages to track Dr. No down to his secret lair by making an appointment at his surgery for 2:25 on Thursday afternoon.
Dr. No will see you now. Not you, Mr. Bond. There are two budgies and a barnacle goose before me. This way, please. A budgie to see you, Dr. No.
Bring it over here, Ojo. Now then. Who's a pretty boy there? Who's a pretty boy? Who is a pretty boy there? Hey, who is a pretty boy?
Eric Powell of Croydon.
I see. It talks. And what seems to be your trouble?
I'm off me millet.
Your feathers seem to have all come out.
Yeah, yeah.
How did this happen?
Oh, my owner's captain of a darts team, see?
I see. And he uses you for his darts?
Yeah, that's why my beak's a bit blunt.
I notice you have quite a striking white crest on top of your head, though.
Oh, no, no. I live underneath a parrot.
Isn't he a panic? Well then, let us see how well you can fly.
Right! How did I do?
Yes, witness the earth-shattering showdown between Bond and his diabolical enemy.
Here we are in the sewers of Monte Carlo, and explaining the fact to ourselves for no apparent reason. I know Bond is in here somewhere, and I shall find him if it's the last thing I do.
Duck, Doctor! Duck! Duck!
What do you mean, duck? In what sense of the word?
In the sense of the feathered bird, Doctor.
Oh, thank goodness. For a second, I thought you meant I should duck out of...
And at that moment, a duck fell on him. Yes, Bond had got his man at last. Don't miss a duck as the new James Bond in Dr. No, in electrifying quack-around and nail-biting waddle-a-scope. Coming soon to this intermission.
Lesson 19 in our amazing series of correspondence courses, Replace the Buggies Way. If you'd like to replace Joe Kendall, Nigel Reese, Chris Evitt, and Fred Harris with a far more intellectual and altogether more tasteful comedy team, simply drop into our alligator pit in Stepney. If you can find a funnier and wittier script than the one by Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, we shouldn't be at all surprised. Above all, if you know of a cheaper producer than Simon Brett of Stepney, then the Guinness Book of Records would like to hear from you. See you next week, folks. Till then, happy dynamic living.
Well, in fact, the Burkis Way won't be back next week, as that was the last in the present series. However, if you'd like to be in the audience for last week's recording of the show you've just heard, the address to write to is the BBC Ticket Unit, Broadcasting House, London, W1A4WW. And for those of you who didn't quite catch all of that, here it is again.
In the 13th century AD, Genghis Khan and his Mongol hordes swept across the face of Asia, leaving in their wake terror, destruction, and lots of good parts for Yul Brynner. And all in their path were put to the sword in a frenzied orgy of carnage, desiccation, and... All in their path were put to the sword in a frenzied orgy of carnage, desiccation, and...